Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It is a very interesting and exciting Sunday. We've got Mother's Day, we've got some visitors here, and we also have the confirmands and the confirmation class to come in immediately after the sermon. But I was thinking about mothers, as we have mentioned mothers many times in the service so far. And from time to time, this wasn't in my notes. I shouldn't say things that aren't in my notes, I know, but it just came to my mind that from time to time, my wife Caroline has said, I'm going to send you back to your mother. Or your mother didn't do a very good job with you. And I'm not sure if she was insulting my mother or insulting me. I don't know which, but anyway. The mother church and the kind of job that we do with our children, bringing them up through Sunday school and confirmation class and continuing to bring them up and bring each other up in small groups and Sunday school classes. Our mother church, as Jessica said, completes, encourages, and grows in us faith to deeper faith. So I'm thinking out loud about confirmation today, and I remember well the year of my confirmation class. I was around 12, and I remember I was the only different one. I'll tell you how different in a second. See, I am the product of a mixed marriage. Yes, I confess. My mother was a Baptist. And as a compromise, I was baptized and then confirmed 10 minutes later in the very same service. And I was the only one like that. That was the compromise. But honestly, what changed me more during that same year was my parents' divorce. You see, 12, 13-year-olds are just starting to look at the world beyond fairy tales, and they're just starting to figure out that not everyone can be trusted, and not everyone tells the truth, and not all friendships last forever. There's an old song that was going through my mind this past week. I think it was Neil Young, Searching for a Heart of Gold. Youth. Confirmation age youth are still searching and still believe that someone ought to have a heart of gold. Someone somewhere, maybe not here, but somewhere, someone should have a heart of gold. Youth are still hopeful like that, for the most part. But it isn't always hope, I have learned, that drives you deeper into God's arms. Sometimes it's crisis. Sometimes it's despair. Sometimes it's distrust, disloyalty. Searching for someone to trust. I hate it when young people give up on hope at an early age. I hate it. I hated it when it happened to me. But I understand. And so many young people are dabbling in things previously delayed until much older ages. There are powerful emotions, powerful passions, powerful substances that are routinely now used and abused by even 12-year-olds in our city, in our congregation. And of course they are not ready to handle such things, nor the consequences of such things. But you know, the movies say they can. And the songs on the radio say they can. And the culture, whoever drives it, does not seem to care that 2 years ago, they were 10 years old. And even though they look pretty grown up right now, they are not ready for powerful emotions, powerful passions, and powerful substances, even though they are routinely used and abused. And truth be told, and listen carefully here, because every single one of us in a few moments are going to renew our confirmation vow. So in a sense, we are all being confirmed today. Truth be told, none of them are ready for confirmation. Of course not. Not a single one of them understands how the one God is both Father, Son, and Spirit. They don't have a clue how to explain how Jesus' death on the cross has anything to do with their salvation or what it is they're being saved for or from. And they still harbor petty grudges against people who have hurt them. And they rarely, if ever, pray for their enemies, even though Jesus taught us to and they know it. Giving of their time and talents and gifts and service and witnesses is going to be what they promise and what I have a right as a pastor to expect from them. But I don't really. That's what all of us have promised and will promise again today. But that promise is kept in fits and starts, and for some people it fades completely from memory. In other words, they are just like you and me. Just like you and me. The mother church isn't as hands-on in mothering as it once was. And you know, Sunday school is not as important with parents as it once was. We just don't have that much time and influence as we once did. It seems that other people are driving the culture, and in many areas it seems like they're driving full speed toward a cliff. And we sit back with the words of life and with the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, and we talk about faith, and we still trust that the one heart of gold was Jesus. But in our daily life, I have to say only rarely do I see effort to live out the promises we made that the confirmands and every one of us will make again today. We have all promised to be loyal to Christ, these are the words, loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in our power to strengthen its ministries, to faithfully participate by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And many of us did learn of God and God's great love in Jesus Christ through the United Methodist Church. This denomination was our mother in faith. Whether you're a new confirmand today or a 75-year-old ex-confirmand, for each professing member here, the church, the world, and God have a right to expect to see in your life loyalty to Christ through the United Methodist Church, if you promise that, and faithful participation and prayer and presence, that means showing up, and gifts and service and witness. And if you truly have found the heart of gold in Jesus Christ, then you have a responsibility to reveal God's love in your life so that others can find Him too. And you do that through living out this promise. Now, I have had a few people in my life, one a Sunday school teacher, one a grandmother, one an uncle, and others, who were consistent in their real heartfelt examples of Christ's love. I've had a few. But folks, we are all called to be that every day. We are not just another civic club, a group of people who do nice things. We are called to reveal to the seekers, to the hurting, and to the soul hungry that God is real, and you can find Him here. Any one of us, you should be able to reveal to those who are seeking the reality of God's living in our hearts. These confirmands are not just joining a club. They are saying, "Church, I am ready." Confirmation is saying, "Mama Church, you have taught us and you have pointed us Godward, and it took. I do believe in my own faltering way. Now, Church and God, help me grow into it the rest of the way. Show me, Church, what Jesus' love looks like. Show me, Church, what forgiveness of enemies looks like. Show me, Church, what compassion on the poor looks like. Justice for the oppressed. Truth spoken to power. Show me, Church, that God in Jesus Christ is not just a man buried in a book in dry, dusty words. Show me, Church, that Jesus lives in you. Give me hope that it's all true." All of our children and all who know us and meet us and have anything to do with us should be able to see what we value in this place, this church, and support it with our prayers, our presence, and our gifts. And all the people out there should be able to see in our service in Jesus' name in the community and in our witness to His life and death and resurrection that we do indeed take seriously our role as disciples. And if we kept these vows as we said we would, this sanctuary would be like Easter every week, and we would make a huge difference in the community, which was the idea from the very beginning. But as I said earlier, none of our confirmands are really ready to keep these vows, and neither are we. As a whole, we talk a good talk, and we nod to God. I think, as I said this morning, that might be the only thing you remember from the sermon. We nod to God. I saw a funny thing on Facebook last week, and yes, the preacher's on Facebook. Look me up. Join me. I'll be your friend. I saw a funny thing. I mean, I thought it was funny and sad. You can become a fan of God. Join, you know, so-and-so became a fan of God. And I thought, oh, no. I'm afraid the entire church of whatever denomination tends to act like God's fan club. And here, once a week, we have a pep rally. And the rest of the week, we wish God well and we hope He wins. But that's not really the plan, is it? Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't we the players on the field? When Jesus called disciples, He didn't call them to the sidelines, did He? I mean, the disciples, the first ones, went out and risked their lives, and they told the story of the gospel, and made it clear that we are all sinners who need a Savior. And the one true heart of gold, the heart of God, is Jesus Christ. He is the Savior we need. And more, Jesus is also the perfect example of the love and the life that God expects from us. And more than that, Jesus' gospel promises us that the Holy Spirit will dwell in us and empower us not to cheer from the sidelines, but to play in the game and to live out the love that Jesus did in the world. Faith comes and goes. Faith ebbs and flows. But I want you to remember that Jesus, through Jesus, we can pray and we can know the comfort of God's presence, and we can pray and receive the ability to forgive even when we don't feel like it. We have drifted in the church. We have drifted from God's active hands and hearts in the world and kind of defined ourselves all the way down to just passive fans of God. Now that won't do. It won't do because people are hurting, people are buying into the superficial life of consuming, and they are feeding our fancy, our passing fancies, fulfilling fads and fashions, medicating to forget, and following other dead ends, which leave us more empty than before. God is the real deal. Jesus lives. Jesus lives in us. And our mother church has called us into high expectations. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand here. Grace is free and God's love is absolutely free. But the church, echoing Jesus, has always said, you have something to do. Don't keep the good news a secret. Pass it on. Witness it out loud. Pray and practice, encourage and serve. Don't be a taker only in the gospel. Jesus came to serve and to give us a model of how we can serve others. Fans on the sidelines are takers who just say, go God. But that's not doing what Jesus said. When He washed the disciples' feet, He said that He was giving an example to serve, even in ways that the world might think are demeaning. And when He stopped and helped and healed, He was showing compassion. And when He fed the hungry crowd, showing compassion. And when He cried at the death of Lazarus and the grief of His sisters, He was showing compassion. This faith of ours is not just for us. It is meant to show in the ways we feel and care for others. And also, this money we have. Yes, I'm going to bring up money and faith. This money we have. However many dollars we have, each dollar is a vote about what we value. Are you voting for God? That's the end of the money section. Are you voting for the continuing and expanding ministry through this church? Witness is the final part of the question. And it is the defining thing for all Christians. I know middle-class Methodists do not like to offend anyone, and they don't want to talk about religion. But if you have a truth that we all have a God-given hunger for, a life and death truth about what God has done in Jesus Christ, a truth that can help the guilty move on free from old pain, a truth that can help the wounded start again, the bitter feel warmth and love again. If you have such a truth and refuse to even mention it out loud, why? Why? Why would you keep such a healing and hopeful, life-changing truth a secret when you know in your own heart how much it means to you? Confirmation says, and I'll address the front row now, says, you girls and boys have grown enough that you can start living out this faith of ours on your own. Says, you guys are more than just children of the church. You're now disciples on your own. Are any of us ready to do that perfectly? Any of us? Of course not. Not perfectly. But we do pray for the power and the guidance of God's Holy Spirit, and for the difficult decisions we must make, and for the habits of hurt and waste we tend toward. And we pray that we can grow from faith to deeper faith and support one another right here in this church, in classes, in small groups, in youth, in worship. We're never finished. And we are none of us ever really ready to be fully Christian, but ready or not, there is a world out there, and God so loved that world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whomsoever believes should not perish, but have life everlasting. Ready or not, Jesus left us with those living words for a dying world. Confirmands today and confirmands from all the yesterdays, God is here to help us keep our promises. He is the vine. We are the branches. Grow, church, grow. At every critical turn in your life, I hope you will ask yourself, does the fact that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ have anything to say to me? I think it does. And if it doesn't, I think it should. And when you leave the church at the close of this service, I want you to remember who you are. You will have, by the end of this service, have renewed your own personal membership vow. Remember who you are. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. If I had thought way ahead, we would have closed with, "O Jesus, I have promised." Go make of all disciples is close enough.